So turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 16. Exodus 16, and while I was studying for this morning's message the other day, some things come across to me, and I didn't really write it down in a like I normally do in a message format. But we're going to do some reading, and we're going to do some talking, and a little more reading, and so we'll see where this goes. Exodus 16. Now the children of Israel had come out of Egypt. They'd crossed the Red Sea, and they were tooming along in the desert. Verse 1, it says, and they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came unto the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses, Aaron in the wilderness. Now the question is, do you know what murmuring is? Yes, complaining, grumbling, murmuring. And this came to mind while I was in there. Have you ever murmured? Yeah. You ever murmured against the preacher? You don't have to answer that one. You know, I'll be honest with you. I've murmured against my pastor at one time. I've done it more than once. I've murmured. I've let my wife know, but they were murmuring. And it says, and the whole congregation, they've murmured against Aaron and Moses. Now, verse 3, it says, and the children of Israel said unto them, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt when we sat by the flesh pots and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Here they are. They've come out of Egypt. They've crossed the Red Sea. They watch God take care of that. He opened it all up. They watch God open the Red Sea. They crossed over on dry ground. They watched as the sea covered the Egyptians and the dead bodies floating around. They headed out, and the first thing that happens is they're discouraged, I guess you could say. And they're scared, maybe some fear. When these things get into our hearts and in our lives, it causes us to forget what God's done in our life. It takes over, and it causes you to forget. And the first thing they do, we're going to starve to death out here. And it doesn't know. They didn't just show up and say, hey, Moses, Aaron. No, it started out just a little grumbling. Maybe one of them with his wife went to grumbling, murmuring. And then maybe one of them went to his son and murmured. And then before long, the whole congregation had come before Moses and Aaron and said, hey, look what you've done. You've hauled us out of Egypt. You brought us out here in the wilderness. And now the Lord's going to kill us all right here with hunger. We should have stayed in Egypt. We had our flesh pots full. We had plenty of bread. Man, we could eat to the full. And probably like most of us, we could go without eating for a little bit. But anyway, verse 4 it says, then said the Lord unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or not. And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. And Moses and Aaron said unto the people, unto all the children of Israel, at even, then ye shall know that the Lord hath brought you out from the land of Egypt. And in the morning, then ye shall see the glory of the Lord, for that he heareth your murmurings against the Lord. And what are we that ye murmur against us? In other words, hey, who am I? Moses says, who am I that you're murmuring against me? I'm just like you. I'm a human being. That's basically, preachers can say that. I can say, who am I that you guys want to murmur against me if you've been murmuring against me? You don't have to admit it. But listen, who am I that you're murmuring against me? I'm the pastor, sure. But if you cut me open, I promise you, I'll bleed red just like everybody else. Now, he says in verse 8. And Moses said, this shall be when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full. Remember what they said? In Egypt we had plenty to eat. We had bread to the full. Moses said, hey, he's going to give you bread to the full, for that the Lord heareth your murmurings, which ye murmur against him. And what are we? In other words, Moses is saying again, wait a minute. You're murmuring against God, and what am I? He says, your murmurings are not against us. Your murmurings against God. You see, our sins, really and truly, whatever sin it may be, it's not really a sin against each other. You're not murmuring at me, or you're not murmuring at a Sunday school teacher, or you're not murmuring about another person in the church. Listen, you're murmuring against God. When we sin against God. David walks out on his porch, his big fancy balcony in the palace, looks out there and he sees Bathsheba, and she's naked and she's bathing, and he says, well. And if he'd walked away and went and got busy, but he come back out there and thought, well. But he, you know, he committed adultery with her. Not to mention he had her husband murdered. Plus he lied. And do you know what he told Nathan? When Nathan come to him, he said, Nathan told him this fancy little story about the rich man and the poor man, and a traveler come along, and the rich man took from the poor man to feed the traveler. And he said, I have sinned against Israel? No. I've sinned against you, Nathan. No. He said, I've sinned against God. See, whenever we sin against God. And we need to think about that. That's just something that came to my mind when I was reading this the other day. Listen, the sins I commit, they're not against you. They're not against my wife. They're against God. Anytime we sin, it goes directly against him. So we need to think about that. And Moses, verse 9, spake unto Aaron, say unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he hath heard your murmurings. You know, think about that. The Lord hears our murmurings. Oh, he hears our prayers. Oh, Lord, well, I need help with this and I need help with that. But he also hears all the complaints, all the grumbling. Sometimes we'd rather him not hear that, right? And it came to pass, verse 10, as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, and they looked toward the wilderness, And behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, at eve ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. Now, verse 13. And it came to pass that at the eve the quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning dew lay round about the host. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, what is it? That's basically what it is manna means. What is it? For they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, this is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. What he did is the Lord every evening, and this went on for 40 years, by the way, because they wandered around out there in the wilderness of what? Sin. He fed them quail every afternoon. Man, they did quail everywhere. We got a few around here. You ever ate quail? Raise your hand. Whoo, yeah, some of us are blessed. Quail is good. And then in the morning, when the dew come up, they had this little bitty piece of, what is it? Manna. And it was, that means what is it? They never did figure out what it was. But it was sweet. It was like a wafer. And they ate it to the full. They had plenty to eat. The Lord blessed them. Now, I'm going to tell you, manna is like the Word of God to us. We're to eat it daily. That's what we're to do. Do you read your Bible daily? If you're not, you're starving your spirit. Going hungry. You need to feed it. Matthew 5:6 tells us, they that hunger for the word will be filled. In other words, if you want to be fed, the Lord feeds you. They didn't have to get out there and go collect it. But they did because they were hungry. See, we need to get hungry for the Word of God. And we need to feed on the Word of God. And guess who that Word is? That's Jesus. John chapter 6, he was talking to the Pharisees and they said, well, God sent us the bread from heaven. You ain't the bread of life, because Jesus told them, I'm the bread of life. And if you eat of the bread of life, you'll never hunger no more. You'll be fed. But they said, God gave us the bread from heaven. He says, that stuff you ate when you were with Moses in the wilderness, they still died. But you eat of this bread and you'll live. So we're to feed on the Word of God every day of our life. Now, it's important now. We've got to go on. Verse 16. This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Gather it every man according to his eating, and omer, for every man according to the number of your persons, take ye every man for them which are in his tents. And the children of Israel did so, and gathered some more, some less. In other words, some of them went out and they said, well, we'll eat 30 pieces. Some of them said, well, we won't eat but 10. And so they gathered. That's what they did. They went and gathered it up. In verse 18 it says, and when they did meet it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. And Moses said, let no man leave it till the morning. notwithstanding they hearkened not unto Moses. In other words, Moses said, listen, don't save it till tomorrow now. You're going to have a problem if you do. And here was the problem. It said, but some of them left of it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank. And Moses was wroth with them. Now, you want me to tell you what that's telling us? Listen, we need to read the Word of God daily. Don't read the whole book in the first hour that you decide to read the Bible. Don't overdo it. Read the Word. Get serious with it. And don't put it off. Well, we'll put it off till tomorrow. No, you're supposed to do it daily. That's what we're supposed to do. If we are not doing it daily, for one, we ain't feeding our spirit. Oh, I'll catch up tomorrow. Well, yeah, but something comes up tomorrow and we don't catch up tomorrow. And then something comes up and we don't catch up the next day. Guess what? To be honest with you, I'll just put it this way. The less we read of the Word of God, the more we start to stink. Because we get the world on us. What's the Word of God do for us? It washes us clean. We're washed through the Word of the Lord. That's what it says in Ephesians 5:25, I think. We're washed by the Word of God. Listen, if we are not eating and feeding our spirit, and if we're doing it the wrong way, we need to be doing what the Lord said. We need to be partaking of it daily, feeding on it daily, because, hey, it's good for you. Your spirit needs it. Anyway, it said Moses was wroth with them. And they gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating. And when the sun waxed hot, it melted. And it came to pass that on the sixth day, they gathered twice as much bread, 2 omers for one man. And all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. And he said unto them, this is that which the Lord hath said, tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which ye will bake today, and seethe that ye will seethe, and that which remaineth over lay up for you to be okay, to be kept until the morning. Now what happened to it last time they saved it? Got worms and it stank. But the Lord said, listen, 6 days you labor. In these 6 days you gather. But on that sixth day now you get twice as much. Because tomorrow you need to rest. You need to relax. And it'll be all right. So that's what they're supposed to do. And they laid it up till the morning. And Moses bade, and it did not stink. Neither was there any worm therein. Moses said, eat that today, for today is a Sabbath unto the Lord. Today ye shall not find it in the field. 6 days shall ye gather it, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, in it there shall be none. And it came to pass that there went out some of the people on the seventh day for to gather, and they found none. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long refuse ye to keep my commandments and my laws? Listen, some people just don't listen. You can tell them and tell them and tell them till you're blue in the face, and they just don't listen. Why is that? Hard-headed. That's right. They're just hard-headed. They're going to do it or die. The Lord tells us in John 15:1-15, he tells them, I'm the vine, and we're part of the vine, and we're to abide in him, and we're to keep his commandments. And what do? About halftime, just the opposite. Why? Just what Sister Judy said. We're hard-headed. Lazy. Go to Hebrews. Well, this is... The people rested on the seventh day. Let's go to Hebrews 10. Nobody likes Hebrews 10. I read this, I study this. Let me tell you something before we go into this. Everything we do for the Lord should not be motivated by a to-do list. Well, here's my list. I'm going to put me a big list on the wall. I go to church because I got saved. I do all of this. I read my Bible because God expects me to and I got saved. I tithe and I give offering because God expects me to and I got saved. Don't put a to-do list up there. Really and truly, we ought to be doing these things out of the pure love that we have for the Savior that died on the cross for us. Amen. That ought to be what it is. Amen. Well, because see, if we do a do and don't list. Listen, I don't have to have a don't list. I ain't stupid. I know what I'm not supposed to do. I know what the don'ts are. You know, I don't need to go off down there and sit in the bar and drink beer with Sally. For one, Sandy get really angry with me. Not to mention the Lord's going to be angry with me. But I don't need to be doing that. I know that's a don't. I ain't got to write that down. I don't need to go telling lies to people. That's a don't. I don't need to be telling filthy jokes. That's a don't. I don't need to be hoarding my money back. That's a don't. I don't have to be told that though. I already know that because, listen, when I got saved, the Lord gave me common sense along with it. It just automatically I knew that's a don't. I don't have to put it, and I don't have to put the do's up there. The Lord tells me, He opens my understanding up to what the do's are. Now, Hebrews 10, 22, and I've read this over and over for years. And I've studied these verses over and over for years. And there's no other way to look at them. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Are you saved? Draw near. Know that you're saved. Full assurance. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. That's the water, the water of life as being saved. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Amen. Well, I may be saved. Well, I ain't sure if I'm saved. Well, no, I'm saved. No, you're saved. Listen, if some guy walks in here tonight and shoots me, and I go to heaven, I know I'm going to heaven. I ain't got a problem with it. I don't want to get shot, but if he walks in here and goes, boom, because he was murmuring, and I die, I'm going to heaven. It's a no-so salvation. We don't have to wonder. It's a no-so salvation. We can know that we know that we know. And if you know, you know, you know, then you're okay. Make sure of that. All right. For He is faithful that promised. Listen, did not Jesus Christ promise you that if you trust the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart, it's not a feeling. It's not bright lights. It's not a warm, fuzzy feeling. It's not that some angel appeared to you and said, hey, you're going to heaven. It's a fact. If you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ with your heart, if you've repented to Him, and if you have turned and from that kind of lifestyle, and you're trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, listen, it's a fact. You're going to go to heaven. Amen. You ain't got to worry about it. Right. Have that no-so. Get that in your mind. Get that in your heart. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Listen, I'm to provoke Larry unto love. I'm to provoke him to do good works. That's what we're to do with each other. Oh, but here's my verse that nobody likes. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Look around. How many were here this morning and ain't here tonight? Either way you look at it, we're to be in church as much as possible. Yes, I know we go to different places. We may leave and go somewhere, okay? I can understand it. You may go on vacation. Sometimes you're sick. I get that. But we ought to do our best to be in the house of the Lord and to be provoking others to love and to good works. He says, as the manner of some is, a lot of people starting to lay out of church back then. It ain't changed, Brother Paul. But exhorting one another, and so much more as ye see, what's it say? The day approaching. What day? The day of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, you would hate for the Lord Jesus Christ to come back and you're laid up watching a football game instead of being in church. Because you're going to have to answer for that at the judgment seat of Christ. We don't have to answer for our sins because that's paid for, okay? But we do have to answer for what we do that's useless. Ain't nothing wrong with watching football. Just don't let it take place in serving the Lord. But now here's verse 6. And this has always bothered me. And I've had somebody tell me one time, well, that has nothing to do with verse 25. Well, why did it come under verse 26? If we lay out of church, verse 26, for if we sin willfully. So is it a sin to lay out of church? From what I gather, it is. It's just a flat out willful sin. But there's a lot of people don't mind sinning because they ain't here. You know, they don't have a problem with it. Now, I don't know. They may be sick. That's different. Hey, the Lord knows what's going on. But he says here, verse 27. But a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and who hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. What's recompense mean? Payback. The Lord, and again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. In other words, when I was reading all of this in Exodus, it came to me, I'm like, I don't need to be murmuring. It's a sin. Not to mention, it's a sin not about who I'm murmuring about. Who are they? They're just a human being like me. It's a sin straight up to God. I need to be studying the Word of God daily. I need to do that. If all I can afford to spend, and Lord willing, I do a whole lot more than that, but if all I've got is 5 minutes to sit down and read the Word of God, listen, we need to be doing that. Pick a verse, read it, and ask the Lord to help you understand it, to give you discernment of it. And then meditate on that verse all day. Like J. Vernon McGee used to say, you kind of be like an old cow. She gets out there and, man, she gets all that grass and got the fresh dew on it and she twists it all out and she gobbles that up, and then later on during the day she lays down under the tree and she goes, She's chewing her cud. She brings it back up and chews on it. That's what we need to be doing with the Word of God. We need to find that verse, whatever it is, on a daily basis, and then during the day, chew on that verse. Get all the good out of it. Everything in there. And it'll help us in our walk with the Lord. Amen. It'll show us the importance of why we need to try not to sin so much. It'll show us the importance of digging more and more in here. Listen, there's so many little nuggets in here. It's like a treasure chest, and you open it up, and that one's too big for me right now, so I won't try to pick it up. But this one ain't. Well, I'd pull that one out. And man, I tuck it away, and then I can get another one, and later on I'm getting bigger and bigger chunks, and before long I can pick up that big one. And I understand what it means. And the Lord's really working in our life that way. And then it helps us what? To be faithful to the Lord, not just coming to church, okay? And I know this, I'm preaching to the choir. But the key is, it gives us the understanding of why we need to be faithful to the Lord Jesus' work and what He established. Listen, He established the church. I don't care what people tell you. I don't care what all these commentaries tell you. The universal church, that's hogwash. Jesus started the church on the seashores of Galilee when He called His apostles. And later He had lots of disciples. Why would I not want to be a part of what Jesus started? Why would I not want to be around those that think like me? We're like a family. Brothers and sisters in Christ. And we pray for each other, or should be. And we exhort one another when we see it, and provoke one another to love and good works. That's what we need to be doing. And the more we get into the manna, the Word of God, the more we dig and build that relationship with Christ, the more we understand how important these things are. Brother Philip, come up and play us an invitation. Let's all stand. We're going to close. But if the Lord has spoken to you tonight,